First, the United States economy did better than expected, according to data released last week by the Commerce Department. Gross domestic product, or GDP, rose at a 3.2% annual rate in the first 3 months of the year. That was better than many observers had predicted after fears of an economic hangover from the longest government shutdown in American history. Abdur Chaudhry is here with us now to take a closer look at those numbers and explain how we got here. He's a professor emeritus in the Department of Economics at Marquette University. Abdur, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, Abdur, I'm seeing the word unexpected thrown around a lot to describe these economic numbers. Why were these GDP numbers surprisingly high?
Yeah, we were pleasantly surprised with the number. We were expecting somewhere around 2.5% GDP growth, but it turned out to be 3.2%. There are two main reasons for that. One is we saw a significant improvement in our net trade position. Our exports went up, imports went down. And also, we did see increase in inventory investments. So those were the two factors that sort of pushed the GDP figure to 3.2%.
Now, GDP is one measure of the economy. It's really a big, large-scale picture. How important is that as a number when we evaluate the health of our economy?
Obviously, GDP gives you an overall picture. There may be some points of weakness within the economy, but by looking at GDP, we can basically say that the fundamentals in the economy are strong, and we do have a healthy economy.
Now, President Trump addressed this new economic data last week. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
We have great growth and also very, very low inflation. Our economy is doing great, number one in the world. We're number one economy right now in the world, and it's not even close.
Is that accurate, Abdur? We are the number one economy in the world, depending on how you want to define that?
We are number one in terms of the total value of our GDP. But, for example, if you look at the GDP growth rate, then obviously we are not number one. But we are the biggest, the largest economy in the world.
What, speaking of the world, how much does something like our GDP depend on, say, the economies of the European Union or China, for example?
It does depend to some extent. For example, if you take the case of the European Union, the recent problem that we see in Brexit, the United Kingdom trying to leave the European Union, that sort of creates uncertainty in the global economy, which in turn affects the U.S. economy. Also, China is one of our major trading partners. So if China is not doing well, that would also have a negative impact on the U.S. economy.
Again, the GDP, it's a large-scale measure, looking pretty good. Stock market has done pretty well. Do people feel that? How do we measure whether these things, these good numbers with the GDP, are impacting, say, how much lower-income workers are making at the workplace?
If you look at the workers' wages, that's slightly different. The labor market is doing very well. Unemployment rate is at one of the lowest level we have seen in decades. However, one thing that we found is that wage rate has not increased at the rate that we would have expected, given the tight labor market. We are creating a lot of jobs. If you look at the job creation numbers that come out every month, we are creating a lot of jobs, but many of these jobs are in the low-skilled, low-wage areas. We are not creating enough job in high-skilled, high-wage areas. As a result, you know, wages are not increasing that much. So recent statistics that has come out shows that the degree of income inequality in the country has increased in the last decade.
This is as this economic recovery is going on, this rise in inequality. Can you talk a little more about what's driving that? It's the more low-skilled jobs, fewer high-skilled jobs. And what's happening at the top end of the economy?
At the top end of the economy, if you look at the top 1%, top 2%, it's basically, if you look at the stock market is doing very well. So wealth is increasing at the top end. But the wages at the lower end are not increasing at a similar rate. So we see the disparity increasing over time.
Talking to Abdur Chaudhry, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Economics at Marquette University, looking at pretty good economic numbers, higher than expected GDP numbers that came out last week for the first quarter of 2019. Abdur, politically, some people might describe this as year 10 of the Obama recovery or year 2 of the Trump rally. How much does a president and presidential policies and congressional policies actually impact the economy, or are these just trends that are kind of outside of anybody's control?
To be honest, the president doesn't have a very significant impact on how the overall economy is going. I would say the Federal Reserve Bank has a bigger role to play in the economy, given, you know, whatever policy they follow has a greater impact on the economy. So the president obviously takes the credit. To some extent, that's correct, but I don't think the president can take full credit for the state of the economy.
Let's talk about the Federal Reserve a little more. There's a debate going on that the president is part of, the idea that, okay, the economy is doing well, now's the time to raise interest rates. The president and others saying, whoa, if you raise interest rates, you're going to slow things down. But other people saying, wait a minute, if we go into a recession, interest rates are as low as they are. We don't have a lot of tools to fight that recession. How do you untangle all of that?
Towards the end of last year, as you know, the Federal Reserve Bank started to raise interest rates because the economy was doing very well. Then early this year, because the global economy was slowing down a little bit and inflation in the U.S. was not increasing, as a result, the Federal Reserve Bank decided not to raise interest rate in the near future. And I don't think the Fed will raise interest rates in 2019. Having said that, the issue of recession, late last year or early this year, there was some question that, you know, are we close to a recession, because the yield curve became negative. And if you look at previous recessions, a couple of months before the recession sets in, the yield curve turned negative. So, you know, some people started to question whether we are close to a recession. But personally, I feel that the economy is fundamentally strong. So I don't see a recession happening in the next 12 months.
There have been times of economic expansion in the past where we've seen some people say, hey, maybe this time is different. Maybe we can just see steady growth forever. Another recession isn't going to come. Then another recession comes. Is this time different? Is there such a thing as just ongoing sustained expansion? Or are we going to hit a recession again sometime, even if not in the next year?
Obviously, we will hit a recession sometime. You know, the economy goes through business cycles, you know, ups and downs. But given the sustained growth in the economy and given the strong fundamentals that we see, we don't see a recession in the very near future. Maybe there will be a recession 2 years or 5 years down the road, but I don't see that happening in the next year or so.
Pretty positive for the most part. Are there any worrisome signs that you see buried within the happier numbers?
There are a couple of headwinds. There are a couple of things that we should be concerned about. In the domestic economy, I would say the housing sector. You know, the last great recession we had was basically started from the housing sector. We don't see much improvement in the housing sector the way we'd like to see. There has been some positive movements, but the housing sector has not improved the way we would like to see. That's in the domestic economy. In the global side, I think the Brexit issue is something that we need to be concerned about, because the uncertainty that we have, the UK was supposed to leave the European Union by the end of March. Now, that has been pushed back to end of October, but the resulting uncertainty is creating some problem both globally as well as for the U.S.
And Abdur, I want to ask you about policies that might help people who are left behind, even in the midst of this expansion. I'm thinking of groups like farmers, especially dairy farmers in Wisconsin, a lot of them struggling, and also high school workers with a high school education who maybe in years past, generations past, might have gotten a really good paying factory job. Now they're getting a lower paying service job at best. Do you see policies that could help people in those two groups?
for the high school graduates, I would say more technical education would prepare them for the workplace in the manufacturing sector. Because if you look at the manufacturing sector, what we have seen in Wisconsin is that employers are looking for workers, but they're not finding the type of skills that they're looking for. So technical education for high school graduates would be a good point to start.
And for dairy farmers, this is we could spend hours just talking about this issue. Do you see any hopeful signs for them after many years of low milk prices?
This, to some extent, is related and linked to the NAFTA issue, because what we have seen is we get a lot of competition in dairy products and lumbers, for example, from Canada. So if we can have a good NAFTA agreement with Canada, the Trump administration has come to some sort of an agreement. Now, that needs to be ratified by the U.S. Congress. So that would help the dairy farmers in Wisconsin.
And Abdur, in our last minute or so, what are some of the next indicators, the next reports, the next numbers you're watching for?
Obviously, the next numbers that I would be watching for is on Friday. The labor market numbers are coming out, the job creation. That's a number that I'd be looking for. Also, numbers from the housing market, because that's some concern that I have. The housing market is not improving the way we'd like to see. So housing market numbers, labor market, those are the numbers we'd be looking at.
We'll leave it there for now. Abdur, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Okay, thank you for having me in your program. Thank you.
We've been talking to Abdur Chaudhry, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Economics over at Marquette University. He joined us for a look at the economy's strong performance in the first part of 2019, what's behind it, and what to watch for in the months to come.